With that, I'll invite you to please rise in honor of God's word as we hear our scripture lesson for today. And today, as you see, we're going back to the book of Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 10, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 7. Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it and laid incense on it and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord has said, among those who are near to me I will be sanctified, and before all the people I will be glorified." And Aaron held his peace. And Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said to them, "Come near, carry your brothers away from the front of the sanctuary and out of the camp." So they came near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses said to Aaron and to Eleazar and to Ithamar, his sons, "Do not let the hair of your heads hang loose, and do not tear your clothes, lest you die, and wrath come upon all the congregation. But let your brothers, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning that the Lord has kindled. And do not go outside the entrance of the tent of meeting, lest you die, for the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you." And they did according to the words of Moses. Here ends the reading, and you may be seated. And as we prepare to reflect on that word, let's just briefly bow our heads together. Well, Lord, again, we thank you for all of your word. We thank you for every bit of it. And we thank you for it, knowing that not even one piece of scripture is unimportant. Not one piece of it is fit to be ignored. It is all your word, and we pray that we would be faithful in regarding it as such. Speak to us this morning as we look upon this passage. Guide us, show to us your truth, show to us your will. Strengthen us to live in it. And where we fall short, enable us to look to you and to trust in you for the salvation that you provide. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, although we have only gotten into it for 1 week, and then I disappeared for a few Sundays. Well, I was back last week, but I didn't preach. We're now going to get back into the summer series I'm taking you through. You'll then have one more Sunday off, because again, we got the community service next week. I'm going to be gone on vacation again as well. And then we'll be able to jump back into it for good and continue on uninterrupted through the end of the summer. But this summer, you may recall, I'm sharing with you some of the untold stories of the Bible. At least that's how I'm referring to them. And I'm referring to them in this way because these are a few of the accounts in Scripture that we rarely, if ever, hear. They're rarely, if ever, taught to us as we gather together for Sunday school class. They're rarely shared as we gather for vacation Bible school or confirmation or Bible school or even during Sunday worship services such as is this one. And the reason for this, as I already shared with you, is because of the nature of the stories. These stories are not necessarily fun stories. They can be difficult stories for us to deal with. Now, the story we're looking at this morning, it's very different from the first. The first one dealt with immorality. It dealt with sexual sin. It dealt with a case of incest and rape. We saw a couple of people who were so desperate to have their desires fulfilled, to have their desires satisfied, that they went about it in the wrong way. They went about it in a sinful way. Today, however, we're going to deal with a matter of worship. Today, we are dealing with a couple of people who, it seems, were attempting to honor the Lord by what they did, but things worked out much differently than they expected. However, before we jump into our text for today, before we dive into this story, I want you to stop and I want you to imagine something with me. And this might not be something too far off base. You've probably experienced something like this at some point in your life, although I might have taken it a little bit extreme just to make a point. But imagine with me for a minute, as a parent, asking your child to do something for you. Imagine with me, like, as a father, talking to your son in the morning and saying, I'm going to work, and while I'm at work today, would you please just get the lawn mowed for me while I'm away? And as you return home, you find that the grass has not been cut. It's still there as long as it was before you left. And so you walk into your house frustrated because your son had not done for you as you had asked. And you walk in the door, and as you begin to ask him about the lawn, as you begin to ask him why he didn't mow it, he walks out of the kitchen and presents to you your favorite pizza. He presents to you your favorite pizza. He had been working on it for hours. In fact, he had made it from scratch in an effort to please you. He was thinking of you, he says. He wanted to please you. He wanted to honor you. But he tried to do so in his own way. He sought to do so on his own terms. Now, I'm sure the pizza probably smelled absolutely wonderful. And you may have, in a sense, been grateful that your son thought of you, but you're still not happy in that moment, are you? You're still not satisfied, and you're not satisfied because the larger issue remains. The larger issue remains that your son did not do for you as you had asked. The issue remains that he had completely disregarded your instructions. The issue remains that he had not respected you enough to mow the lawn while you were away. And although I know this seems like completely out of left field, this is similar to what was going on in our lesson for this morning. This is more or less what was taking place in the passage that I read to you from the book of Leviticus. However, before we dig into the actual problem, allow me to give you a little bit of background here. Now, the book of Leviticus, I think it's needless to say, is not one of the easiest books of the Bible to read. You know, as we open up our Bibles for devotional reading, it's probably one of the last ones that we tend to turn to. But as we look at the book of Leviticus, we find a lot of laws. We find lists of rules. We find lists of instructions that God was delivering to his people. And this is why we find it far from exciting. It's a list of rules. Who wants to sit down and read a list of rules? So we find it rather tedious. And we also struggle with them because these rules seem more or less foreign to us. They are so different, vastly different from the way we live and from the way that we operate today. So we just have trouble relating to them. But as we look at the beginning of the book of Leviticus, we see that God gave instructions to his people regarding the sacrifices that were to be offered. He gave specific instructions about the sacrifices themselves, the animals themselves, and also how these sacrifices were to be carried out. And as we come then to the 8th chapter of Leviticus, Aaron and his sons are then consecrated. They are consecrated because they were the people who were going to, at least initially, offer these sacrifices in the role of priest. So starting out in verse 1 of that chapter, here is what we read. And this is what the Lord said to Moses. Take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, and the anointing oil, and the bowl of the sin offering, and the two rams, and the basket of unleavened bread, and assemble all the congregation at the entrance of the tent of meeting. So again, God is establishing his priesthood, and he commands Moses to bring Aaron and his sons, who were to be the priests. He commands him to gather everything necessary to carry out his instructions. And he says, gather in this particular place, at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And then we read in verse 4, and Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the congregation was assembled at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And the point I want you to see here is very, very simple, and it's going to play out as we continue along in this account. But Moses did as the Lord commanded him. So hang on to that thought. And as he appointed Aaron and his sons to serve as priests, Moses said, this is the thing that the Lord has commanded to be done. So then he begins to walk them through this ceremony that God had commanded. He washed Aaron and his sons with water. He placed onto them the garments of the priesthood that they were to wear as they served before the altar of the Lord. And he consecrated them with oil. Moses then brought the bull, which was to serve as the sin offering, and he offered it. He then brought out a ram, which was the ram of burnt offering, and he offered that. Then he brought another ram, which was the ram of ordination, and he offered it. And after that ram of ordination was boiled, they ate it. And they were instructed to remain at the entrance of the tent of meetings, at the tent of meeting, for 7 days. And after that time, they would be ordained to serve as priests of the Lord. Now again, although to us this may sound like a lot of ritual, we do find that this is something that the Lord took very seriously. And we know this because of what God said in verse 35. He says, "At the entrance of the tent of meeting, you shall remain day and night for 7 days, performing what the Lord has charged, so that you do not die. For so I have commanded." So we learn from this that Aaron and his sons, they were to follow God's instructions. And not only were they to follow his instructions, they were to do so to the letter. And if they failed to do so, they would suffer a very serious consequence, as we see here. If they failed to do so, they would die. Now, as we come to chapter 9 of Leviticus, we see that the 7 days had passed. And so on the 8th day, Moses called Aaron and his sons, telling them to take a bull calf for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering and offer them before the Lord. And they did as they were commanded. After these sacrifices had been killed, and after Moses and Aaron had entered into the tent of meeting and had come out, after Aaron had blessed the people, the glory of the Lord appeared to them, and then fire came out from the altar and consumed these sacrifices that had been altered. The fire consumed the burnt offering and also the pieces of fat which had been placed upon the altar of the Lord. So in this way, which was rather miraculous, God accepted their offering. He showed his approval for their offering. He revealed to the people that this offering was accepted, this sacrifice was accepted, and he did so as they were carried out according to his instructions. Now with this background, we now come to our lesson for this morning. And we see here that two of Aaron's sons, he had 4 sons, but 2 of his sons, named Nadab and Abihu, they took their censers. And these censers, they were vessels that were used to hold hot coals for the sacrifices. But they took these censers, they laid incense on them, and they offered unauthorized fire before the Lord. Unauthorized fire, that gives us a clue. They were doing something that God had not ordained. They were doing something that God had not commanded. And this is reiterated to us in the next phrase. We read that they offered unauthorized fire to the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So we learn from this that by this act, they had gone outside of God's instructions. They had made this offering which God had not commanded. They did not obey the word that he had given to them when it came to their role as priests and when it came to the sacrifices that they were to offer. Now that being said, we don't know anything about their intentions. Those are not shared with us. We don't know if they were simply trying to honor the Lord in their own way, and that's what I tend to think they were doing. They were attempting to honor the Lord in so doing, but we also don't know if pride may have played a part in it. We don't know if they were trying to elevate themselves. Again, they were priests alongside their father who was the high priest, and maybe they were trying to elevate themselves to the same status as their dad. I don't know. Frankly, it doesn't matter. It may have been a mix of the two. But we then see the consequences of their actions. We're told that as they offered this unauthorized fire, fire came out from the altar of the Lord and consumed them. and they died before the Lord. And so as we read this, notice with me the contrast there. When Aaron rightly offered the sacrifice, fire came out from the altar of the Lord and consumed the sacrifice. But now, as things were done wrongly, as they were done outside of God's instructions, fire came out from the altar of the Lord and consumed them. Now, as we read this, and as we read accounts like this that are similar in Scripture, we struggle with them. We struggle with them because God's actions seem to us rather harsh. We don't understand why this was such a big deal. In fact, we may believe that in this instance, God overreacted. We may even find ourselves judging God. We may find ourselves critical of Him and what He did. But God's reasoning is found in verse 3, and here it is. God said, "Among those who are near to me, I will be sanctified, and before all the people, I will be glorified." Now, God, of course, is holy by nature. And nothing we do is going to make God more holy. And nothing we do is going to make God less holy. Holy is simply who He is. But what God is saying, that among those who are near to Him, He will be regarded as holy. Among those who are close to Him, He will be treated in a holy manner. In other words, God will not allow Himself to be regarded in an unholy manner. He will not allow Himself to be treated in an unholy manner. As He is God, He will be treated. He will be regarded as God. Now, hearing this, we're told Moses held his peace. He said nothing. After all, what could he say? I'm sure he was upset, but what could he say? But as we consider this, as we hear God's explanation of why he did what he did, I think we can understand his point. We can recognize the lack of respect shown to him by Nadab and Abihu. We see how they failed to regard as holy because they acted outside of his instructions. But that's not all that we see. Because we look at what happened, and then we begin to look at the world around us, don't we? And we begin to see the lack of respect shown to him by the world in which we live. We see the many ways in which the people of our world blatantly disrespect the Lord and fail to regard him as holy. We see, for example, how people regularly profane his name, using it in a common way, even as a curse, sometimes in an effort to be funny, but it's what they do. We see how people fail to worship him. We see how people fail to honor him for who he is and for what he has done. We see how they fail to worship him and to receive the blessings that he has provided to us. We see how people put so many other things in the place of God, trusting in them for the blessing they need rather than the Lord. We see how people fail to cherish his word. We see how people reject what God has declared good and embrace what he has declared to be evil. And frankly, we see how they reject the salvation that he has provided for them. And we could go on and on and on with this, talking about the many ways in which the people of our world fail to honor the Lord as holy. But we often fail to realize, however, how we do the very same thing. We fail to recognize that even if we don't do so openly, we too fail to give to the Lord the respect and the honor that he is due. Even if we don't do so publicly or defiantly, we fail to regard the Lord as holy. Like Nadab and Abihu, we stray from the word of God. We fail to follow God's instructions. We fail to heed Scripture as God has given it to us. We seek to honor God not by heeding the word he's given to us, but in our own way. We fail to honor God as he demands, but then we seek to do so on our own terms. We seek to glorify God and to worship God, not as he instructs us, but in the way that we desire to do so. We create rules where God has created none. We make laws where God has made none. And then where God has given us freedom, where he's given us no direction, or where he has, I'm sorry, I said that backwards. Where God has given us explicit direction, we insist on freedom. Instead of receiving his word as he's given it to us, we seek to interpret it. We seek to interpret it according to our own wisdom and according to our own desires. Instead of receiving his word as he's given it to us, we seek to define it for ourselves. Instead of receiving his word as he's given it to us, we seek to define it and we seek to clarify it based on our own understanding of the world, using our own wisdom to guide that process. We often seem to think that we can play fast and loose with the word of God. And maybe we think that we are trying to honor him. And we think that, well, as long as we are trying to honor him, as long as our intentions are good, that's all that's needed. As long as our intentions are right, God should accept them. And we tell ourselves that we can do so, that we can each honor him in our own way, as we often like to say. But as we see clearly in our lesson for this morning, it's a pretty dangerous place to be. It's a very dangerous thing to do. There's a consequence for doing so, and that consequence is very serious. Again, as we look at Nadab and Abihu, God took their lives as they stepped outside of his instruction. He struck them dead for their failure to obey his instruction. And it would be stupid of us to believe that when we do the very same thing, that we'll experience different results, better results. Now, as I say this, I realize that many of us, maybe even most of us, we may dismiss this danger. We dismiss it thinking that although God did this to these two young men long, long ago, he hasn't done so to the countless others who are guilty of the very same sin. He hasn't done so for the countless others who have failed to regard him as holy. As I've mentioned, we see people do this on a daily basis. We ourselves do this on a daily basis. And yet, we're still here, right? God has yet to strike us down. And this almost seems to confirm that what we are doing, the way that we are living, it's no big deal. It seems to confirm that God does not take our actions all that seriously. It seems to confirm to us that our behavior is acceptable in the eyes of God. We fail to realize, however, how wrong we are. While it may be true that no, God doesn't strike everybody dead in the moment as they fail to sanctify him, it's not as though you and I get off scot-free. We must realize that if God did so, none of us would be here right now. If God immediately struck dead everyone who failed to regard him as holy, we would all be dead. God would have struck each one of us down long ago. Long ago. But that being said, this doesn't mean that we will escape his wrath forever. As the Bible makes clear to us, our sin makes us deserving of death. Death is what we have earned by our wrongdoing. And because of our sin, we deserve to die. More than that, our sin makes us deserving of hell. Again, hell is what we have earned by our sin. It's what we deserve because of our sin. We deserve to spend an eternity of suffering, forever separated from God and forever separated from his blessings. God also, throughout Scripture, speaks to us very directly about disregarding his word. He warns us over and over again against doing so. And he speaks about the consequences of doing so. We can see this early on in Scripture. For example, in Deuteronomy 4, verse 2, God says, "You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you." So again, he makes clear, do not add to my word, and do not take from my word. In chapter 12 of that same book, he repeats this. Everything that I command you, you shall be careful to do. You shall not add to it or take from it. We're to take care that we do all that God has instructed us, that we carry out each of his commands. Again, don't add to his word. Don't take from his word. Many of you are probably most familiar with this warning as it's given at the end of Revelation. Starting in verse 18 of the 22nd chapter, the Apostle John writes this. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. So again, John gives us a similar warning. We are not to add to the word that God has given. We are not to take away from the word that God has given. Adding to it means receiving the plagues, the judgments that are described to us in the book of Revelation. It means receiving the wrath of God described in it. And taking from his word means missing out on our share in the tree of life and in the holy city. It means missing out, losing out on the blessings that God has prepared and provided for us. If we do this, you see, if we add to God's word or take away from it, we are failing to sanctify the Lord as holy. We're failing to honor him as holy. We're failing to regard him as holy. We're essentially placing ourselves and our wisdom and our understanding above that of God. And while most of us would hesitate to say it directly, that we believe ourselves to be smarter than God, this is essentially what we're saying. While most of us would hesitate to say directly that we know better than God, this is what we're doing. This is what we're doing every time we add to his word and every time we take from it. Now that being said, we can't, of course, live out his word perfectly. Because of our sinful nature, we have all fallen short. We'll continue to do so. This is why God instituted the sacrifice for the sins of his people. And of course, this is what makes Jesus so important for us. Jesus has done for you and for me what we cannot do for ourselves. He became a man. He became like us in every way. He was even tempted like us in every way. And according to Scripture, he lived that perfect life that we are unable to live. He then died on the cross, paying the penalty of our sin. He took that guilt upon himself. And he did so that we might be freed from our bondage to sin and death. And it's for this reason and for this reason alone that we can escape the consequence that we deserve. It's for this reason and this reason alone that we can escape death and hell. It's for this reason and for this reason alone that we can receive the blessings of forgiveness and life everlasting. So as we then look at the story of Nadab and Abihu, as we see our own sin, which is just like their own, as we acknowledge our own wrongdoing and the fate that we deserve, we must look to Jesus in faith for the blessing he has provided for us. And as we do so, this blessing becomes ours. As we trust in him for the salvation that only he can provide, we are delivered from death, and he bestows upon us the blessing of life, and more than that, the blessing of life everlasting. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we again thank you for this word, and Lord, as we look at it, it certainly is a difficult word. It's a difficult word because not only do we see how you acted and why you acted the way that you did, but we see our own guilt. We see our own shame. We see that we are deserving of the same fate as Nadab and Abihu. And we confess to you, Lord, this sin of adding to your word, this sin of taking from your word. And we pray, Lord, that for the sake of Jesus, you would forgive us, that you would give us life, that you would give us salvation. And we also pray that you would work within our hearts, that you would strengthen us, so that our desire would be to carry out your word and to trust in it just as you have given it to us. Give us the desire to do so and the strength to do so. And each time we fail, bring us back to you on our knees for the mercy that we so desperately need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.